What do we expect from preaching? I'm sure that all of us have memories where we think back in our lives and we have fond memories of some sermons and some happenings from sermons that we heard preached. And we may have, on the other hand, memories of certain circumstances and certain sermons that we didn't appreciate. And that it kind of, as the saying goes, rubbed us the wrong way. So I thought it would be good tonight if we just take a little time and go to Acts chapter 13 and consider a sermon that Paul preached and some of the results that he got. And as I was thinking about this and reading through it and doing some studying, I thought, actually, I've got six things I want to bring to your attention that results of his sermon. But I got to thinking about the results that I want to talk about. It would make more sense if we knew what he preached. So we backed up in Acts 13 a little bit, and we find some interesting things that Paul preached about. Look at verse 16 to start with. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." So, can you imagine the Apostle Paul standing up and beckoning with his hands and said to the people that were before him, "Listen." And so he began to preach. And there are several things in the next few verses that we find that was considered and that was included in his sermon. For instance, he gave him some history to start with. How that God had been faithful to his children and he brought them through many trials, and certainly they've come to a place now where things are about to change big time, because now they start to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 23. "Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." So he begins to preach Jesus. And I was made to think of this when our pastor related to us how that on the radio station, they asked him not to talk so much about Jesus, but more in general about God. Well, some of the results that we have from Paul's preaching came because he preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should not be ashamed to do that today. Look a little bit further down. Look at verse 28. "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain." So not only did he preach that Jesus was a Savior, but he preached that Jesus was killed. And we know the story of the crucifixion and all the things that transpired in bringing up to the time when he was actually put on the cross and died for the sins of the people. Look in verse 29. "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher." So they buried him. And certainly Paul preached that. Then we find a little bit farther down in verse 33, "God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again." Aren't you happy that he preached the resurrection? The Lord Jesus is not in the tomb, and he didn't stay in there longer than was provided for him to stay, and God raised him from the dead. Again, in verse 33, "God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again." So he preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, you can't go beyond that. That is what we must preach today concerning the Lord Jesus. And look on down a little bit farther in verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Man, isn't that great? The forgiveness of sins. And all because of his death, burial, and resurrection, he paid the supreme price for our sins, and we today can stand forgiven because of the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross of Calvary. Verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I'm glad we don't have to try to have our relationship with God taken care of through the law of Moses. Now, the law is good, but I tell you, the way we get forgiveness of sins and the way we are justified from all things, no matter what our past has been, we stand before God as a child of His because we are justified. And I like the idea that Paul not only preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection, but he preached the forgiveness of sins and justification through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a sermon in itself, isn't it? So let's move on a little bit. And I want to give you six things in the next few verses as we are gathered here for the time of preaching. Now, as we think about this, we can see several things that transpired because of Paul's sermon. They were not all good, as far as we look at the good part of it, but it was all through the will of God and through the people who received and who rejected the sermon that Paul preached. Six things. Look in verse 42. The Bible says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So number one tonight, we find that there was a desire to hear the Word of God. And as I was thinking about this particular message, I thought, how many times are we prepared when we come to church to have a yearning to hear the Word of God? Sometimes our minds are so shallow because it's so cluttered up with living and with the problems that we face every day that we fail to have a yearning to hear the Word of God. But we certainly are responsible. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So we are to be able to listen, and it's our responsibility to keep ourselves prepared when we come to the house of the Lord that we can rejoice in the Word of God as it goes forth from a preacher that is Spirit-filled and has prepared in study and prayer to bring to us the Word of God. So they had a yearning to hear. Paul preached Jesus, and that's what they wanted. When they had an opportunity, they said, we want to hear these words again next Sunday, or next Sabbath day, as it was at that particular time. Not only that, there was an after meeting that day, because verse 43 says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So after the service was over, they cornered them, so to speak, And they began to compel them and to encourage them to continue doing what they were doing, and that was in the grace of God. So we find, first of all, number one, there was a desire to hear the Word of God. Then we find in verse 44 that there was a general awakening. Look at this. The Bible says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God." Almost the whole city. Oh, I imagine there was a few that didn't show up, you know. But think through this for just a moment. The whole city showed up to hear the Word of God. There was an awakening, and there had to be some broadcasting, not on the radio or cell phones, but people had to tell each other and spread the good news that there was going to be preaching next Sabbath day, and almost the whole city showed up. I was talking to a fellow today that used to attend here, and we were talking about church and some of the people. He asked me if they were still here, and a good conversation. And his question was, "Have you grown any from all the people that are coming into that particular vicinity?" Well, when you consider it, there's lots of people that haven't shown up. We hope they will, and we believe they will, but it takes preparation, it takes witnessing, it takes word of mouth to get people to come in. And so these people showed up, almost the whole city. There was a general awakening in that city. What a stir there must have been. Next of all, we find, thirdly, there was opposition. Isn't it always expected? Look at verse 45. "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." You know, we shouldn't be surprised when a sermon is going forth that there will be opposition. The devil don't like preaching, and he discourages people, and he will bring up everything that you could think of and some that you can't think of to keep you from enjoying and receiving the blessings of God that comes from a good sermon. But these people, there was bitter opposition. You know, it's hard to understand, and really, there's no excuse when you see people get upset over preaching. But it happens. Where a sermon will bless one couple, and they'll leave the church house rejoicing and saying, "Wasn't that a good service this morning?" Someone else will leave meddling and blaspheming and talking down about the things of God because they don't like what was said, what was seen, or the way the service was conducted. It's human nature, I suppose, and we have it. So just as sure as there was a general awakening, there was bitter opposition to the sermon that Paul preached. Not only that, we find fourthly, there was joy among the Gentiles. Look at verse 48. "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Their hearts was set a fire. They were happy. And they heard the newfound truth in the Lord Jesus Christ as Paul preached to them, and there was joy in their midst. They were willing to accept it, and they did. So that is amazing that these Gentiles were so willing to receive that which Paul preached to them, remembering his sermon. And then in verse 50, we find it seems like there was defeat. And this is, I guess, what causes many preachers to say, what's the use? You know, look at verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. They got fired. They really did. They expelled them out of their coast. But you know, there's a note here that I want to just make a brief comment on. The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Now, I know the Bible teaches us that men are to be the leaders in the church as well as in the home. But a pastor that does not recognize that the women of the church, the honorable, faithful ones, are a force to be reckoned with, they will miss the blessings of God and won't have the support they need and will find themselves in the minority when, if they play right before them, they will have blessings indeed. So the Bible doesn't rule out the women. It simply gives us, if they are honorable and certainly faithful, but if they get against you, you get fired. You get expelled. That's what happened here. They expelled them from the city. You talk about a force.